David Leon, did you do anything on Halloween?
I can't tell you about my plans for Halloween and what I did.
He pleads the fifth. Moving on from that.
Okay, that sounds moving, like a really... Yeah, moving on.
Oh, wait,
moving
can
on.
I say what I was?
All right. I'll tell you what I did on Halloween. I watched the
you
last...
giving yourself applause while you're telling us what you're doing for Halloween?
Yes. I watched the last show of Night of Musical Theater.
Oh, very nice.
It was a very good performance. And, you know, I know what happened on campus on Halloween. People read Mass Magazine.
Truth.
Sam, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So we threw it out. We put out Mass Magazine.
We just threw it out there.
I thought, what the heck?
It didn't take a lot of work.
No, no work at all went into it. We threw it out on, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a couple of early releases on that Thursday night. And we got a mixture of like, wow, this is really cool and interesting and haha, it's funny. From that to, I hate this, Mast, why are you doing this?
I can't believe you thought that this part was less important than this part.
Yeah, I can't believe you did this. So, not to invalidate anybody's responses, and we don't want to create a culture where you like write into us and we don't respond, or we do respond and you don't get a chance to tell us how you feel. I wanted to go through some of the comments and tweets that we got.
All right, share those.
We have... at GavJax said, quote, this isn't a story that prospective students should see on the front page at PLU Mast, which is referring to the get drunk, make mistakes story. That was our feature story. Another person whose name was They Call Me Elsa said at GavJax at PLU Mast, I and others felt it lacked any form of morality or activism. It endorses a negative culture with no overall message. Then our cartoonist over at The Mast actually gave us a Facebook comment that said, it's moments like these when I'm not necessarily proud to be affiliated with PLU, and I want to be nothing but proud of my school. I think it's unfair and harmful for Luz to be associated with such negativity and lack of class, as well as very ironic and contrary to our mission statement. Think of the alumni and prospective students, please. We can do much, much better than this tabloid material. Good things never come out of the any attention, even negative attention, is good attention philosophy.
Okay.
Which is, you know, very straightforward with what she means there. And then our last one was from Jesse Marlowe, who said, don't you think promoting ladies to man up and keep up with the boys takes away a woman's agency in the situation? I'm disgusted. Also, there are no secrets in this. So it goes from, you know, let's, you know, being a, like a little like sexist and like being like, this isn't cool to talk like this, to talking about how, like, they didn't want this to be the feature story. Like, they didn't have as big of an issue with the story. They just didn't want it to be the feature. They didn't want it to be on the cover. And all of those points are very valid. So in response, The Mast sent out an apology / clarification letter that made stands this morning. And from that, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback, which I'm really appreciative for, that people can really just move on and see that we're trying to settle some of the dust. And that letter basically stated that we are sorry for the things that we didn't handle well and the allowances that we gave, like we maybe put stigmas on groups without realizing that we were doing it. So we wanted to apologize for that while at the same time clarifying that this new Mast magazine was, it's an experiment still and it's a creative form of storytelling versus the straight inverted pyramid form of the newspaper. And I think that people just didn't quite see that we were just trying to go in a completely different direction. So I think that that clarification is our, like, that was on our fault.
Yeah, and the thing is with the magazine is it's a new format, so students haven't seen it. You know, if you've been on campus for, you know, a couple of years already, you've only seen the Mooring Mast, the mm-hmm. newspaper. Maybe you are aware of the online version, but the magazine is new. And it, with that format, there's different ways to cover stories. And it's not, like you said, it's not that straight, you know, inverted pyramid where it's just this, that, and a third, and that's what happened in 500 words. We're able to go into more detail.
Well, and there was also, I feel like people didn't fully read the editor's note. I know when I read magazines, sometimes I just skip over that, and I'm like, oh, let's go look at the pretty pictures, or let's go read the story I saw that looked really interesting on the front cover. And I feel like it is, like, when I do eventually go back and read the editor's note later, or if I do end up starting with it, it does provide so much context for what's happening in it.
And yeah, we could have made that more clear, too. Like, you need to read this, or we could have, like, maybe not even made an editor's note, but explained it in the beginning of the story. Like, there are clearly faults on our side, and there are clearly things that we could have done better. So part of our mission at this point is to move forward, but also acknowledge, like, this is our first one. This is our first magazine. So from here, like, we're only going to get better. And if you enjoyed reading it, if you're one of the people that enjoyed reading it, like, get excited for the next one. But at the same time, like, if you didn't enjoy reading it, like, give us another chance and enjoy, you know, enjoy Mass Mag as a whole and come back to us and, like, trust that we can get this right.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you very much, Sam. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about police wearing body cameras and the new art installation in Ingram Hall. But first, here's Muse with Mercy on the Mass Radio Hour on Laser. All right. We are back on the air, Mass Radio Hour, here on Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. That was 5 Seconds of Summer with Amnesia, and before that, it was Mercy by Muse. So, we've got Paris Franklin here on the show, and we'll be talking about a story about police wearing body cameras. Paris, tell us about that.
Yes, there's a piece this week in the Mass that is being printed and coming out this week, and it is an opinion piece, but it's obviously really provocative because it's got information about police wearing body cameras, because recently there's been a rise in popularity of having cops wear them, and President Obama is a complete supporter of all police working in the street wearing body cameras. So this spring, the Justice Department announced a 3-year program budgeted for $75 million, including $20 million this year to police departments for body cameras and body camera training. And I believe the reason that they've done this is because there are 88% fewer incidences of, like, the use of force by police and 59% fewer complaints against officers if they're wearing body cameras.
Yeah, that's, what do you think? Do you think that's going to make, you know, is it going to make things safer? Is it going to cut down on police brutality?
Well, it's interesting. In the piece, it's talking about how it's undeniable that police brutality has been a growing issue in the United States, seeing as in just this year alone, there have been 909 U.S. citizens killed by police, compared to, I believe it was like one, it was just over 1,000 in like a 5-year span in the like mid-2000s. And so it's interesting to see that this has risen so much in the last year, and that's what sparked the desire to have body cameras, because obviously that can hold everyone accountable. And then when there are situations like things happening, like what happened with Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri this past year, if there had been a body camera, it would have been more easy to see what had really happened, as opposed to all the different all the sides of the story that were occurring. So it's interesting to see, and obviously the sort of backlash to this is people feeling that cops would then either not have the same leeway and freedom to be able to sort of let things slip if there was someone who wasn't completely in the wrong, because like usually they can have some discretion as far as what they want, but with the use of force, there are a lot of people who are in support, obviously including the president, and it's interesting to see that there are always a lot of people on both sides of the story, and it's an important thing to look at.
It definitely is an interesting issue. Thank you, Paris. Welcome to the show, Brooke Thames, the arts and culture editor from The Mass. Hi, Brooke.
Hi.
So you've got a story about the new art installation in Ingram Hall. Tell us about that.
So the 8th Annual Foundation of Art Award exhibition is being held at PLU this year. It is featured in the University Gallery in Ingram. And it's basically an art show that showcases local talent from the Tacoma area. And there's actually an award that the show is going to give to a local artist. And this year, a Loot is actually going to win it. Alumni Christopher Paul Jordan will be winning a $7,500 prize for his art.
What does his art look like? Can you describe it?
I'm not actually sure which piece it is, but...
We have some really beautiful photos going into the mass this week, so definitely check it out.
Describe what some of those look like, Brooke, because I really want to hear you describe them.
So they're really interesting.
You heard it here first on Mass Radio Hour.
They are extremely interesting pieces. You know, some of them are actually just paint, like geometric paintings, which are cool, and some others are some vases that they have that are in interesting shapes, and some are just different. They have a sculpture of what looks like to be a fish on the body of a woman. So it's like a fish head, and it's puckering, and then you have the top half of a woman with her.
Yes, that was my favorite one. Far.
It reminds me of a Sleestak from Land of the Lost.
I don't even know. They're
alien creatures, essentially.
I also love there are some that are like crocheted
tacos. They're crocheted
plates of food, and like they look realistic. So
yeah, there's a hot dog and donuts, and I think maybe an ice cream cone. Maybe?
Yeah, I think it's an ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's also more knitting. There's a mannequin that is fully clothed in knitted things.
Art is so cool. There's so many things you can do. I have a cousin who's a sculpture artist, and he's made some of the weirdest stuff I've ever seen. And he does like kinetic things, so like things where when you touch them, like the body's energy will actually like produce things in them. Like, so like there's some that can play music. He's made like instruments that are like these really interesting creations. Yeah, art is awesome.
Because I saw, originally when I was walking by, you know that game that you play on the field? I'm for some reason I'm blanking on the name. And it's like I think it's ladders. Isn't it called ladders where you throw the balls that are connected by string? And like you hook it around?
I have that in my car.
Yeah, it's crocheted. It's crocheted ladders. What? Like, it's so weird. I saw it and I was like, who plays that? I want to play that. Like, yes, that's some great art.
Well done.
But yeah, I think it's really interesting. And if you just walk into Ingram right now, you can just go in and look at it all. And why not?
It's crocheted, not knitted.
Crocheted. Ladders.
She said crocheted ladders.
No, the art is crocheted, I think.
Yes.
It's not knitted, it's crocheted. Said, there's a difference.
Yeah, she said.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we just had a caller call in.
Yeah,
we just had a caller let us know about that. It's okay. That's what happens.
I thought she did say crocheted.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
All right. Thank you, Brooke, very much
for
that
story. Thank you,
caller.
We appreciate your input.
It was Matthew Salzano, if you missed.
Oh, never mind. Of course it was.
All
right. So thank you again, Brooke.
The
for
artist
that.
Is so mad. She just called in and like, that's what I for not getting it right.
No.
Thank you very much.
Artists don't listen to this show. Samantha Lund, what's going on with the Christmas tree lighting in Red Square this year?
Okay, so somebody asked me that earlier today, like, hey, when's the Christmas tree lighting? And I had to report the sad news that there was not going to be one. So the answer is never.
Sad day.
I know. Pretty much what's going on is...
Sad.
Sad.
Pretty much what's going on is that the campus ministry decided that they didn't want to just do a Christmas tree because, like, that's not a real celebration of Christmas. Like, I mean, it is a celebration of Christmas, but... And not to invalidate...
Aspects.
Yeah, not to invalidate anyone who thinks, like, that's how they celebrate it. But that's just one of many things that you can do to celebrate. So this year, instead of doing a Christmas tree lighting, they're going to light up campus. So they're going to do lights on some trees, and they'll probably still light up the rose window, I'm assuming, because that's just like you turn some lights on inside and it lights up.
There's also a star on Harstad, I believe.
There's a star on Harstad, but they're going to not do... There's always been a star on Harstad, and there's always been a cross and a tree, but this year they're not going to do the tree or the cross. Which, I mean, is interesting. I don't think that people are, like, you know, people aren't, like, up in arms about it. But
people are questioning about, like, oh, that's kind of different.
Especially because the Mass reported earlier this year about us, like, quote-unquote losing our religion?
Yeah, losing the L and PLU.
I wonder who wrote that.
I know, as some weirdo. I don't know.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. But I think that's something that people are kind of concerned about, which we don't have the answer to in this week's Mass, and I think that we need to beg the question of, we always sell those stars that have like people's names on them and stuff like that. And like as a fundraiser and, or you just get one because people sometimes just get one. And in the past, I think we did a fundraiser with them. So are we hanging the stars on the regular trees? Like what's going on with these stars? Because they're the most beautiful part of the tree, guys. Like in my opinion.
Yeah.
See, and I'm sad that I didn't get to see that. And I don't actually celebrate Christmas, but I love it. So I, no, I'm not kidding. I'm like I came to, well, because I'm Jewish, so I celebrate Hanukkah, but I think that Christmas is super awesome, and I do love all the traditions associated with it, even though I don't celebrate them in a religious capacity. And so, like, I mean, even growing up, we had what we called a Hanukkah bush, which was a Christmas tree with ornaments that were Jewish-themed. So.
Cute. I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
I
like
that. Hanukkah bush.
Hanukkah bush, yeah. And so,
there's people in Orange County who celebrate Christmacha.
Christmacha?
Are you talking about the Coens from yes. the OCTV show?
Yeah, I know. I know them really well, actually. Okay, they're cool people. Yeah,
they're really attractive people. Naturally. They all look like models and yes. stuff. Yeah. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
See, and yeah, I think that, sorry, just going back to the story. Yeah, I think, like, we're at a Lutheran school. Like, I think we can expect that there would be a Christmas tree, and I'm not entirely sure why they would take
it
down.
Well, I don't think it's about, you know, making people feel more included at the Lutheran school by, like, not doing a Christmas tree. I just think it's that this year we're choosing to celebrate it just in a different way. It's not less religious. It's just different.
Okay.
And the thing about the tree is not really a center focal point of the Christmas story. The tree was added in several generations later, as with some, you know, American holidays, we kind of lump a lot of traditions together and we can lose meaning sometimes. But the meaning behind the tree, it actually comes from an old German tradition. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that most Lutherans come from a German background. But it's about, you know, taking the family out and, you know, decorating a tree on your property just to celebrate winter and just celebrating that time.
Tradition.
Yeah,
kind of.
I guess you could say it has been looked at in that respect, but it got incorporated in with the German church at some point, and so that's how it was brought over here. As far as the cross, we talked about instead of having a cross in you know Red Square, maybe it wasn't Pastor John's cross to bear to have that out there this year. But we did talk about putting one in Nest Family Chapel. So we'll see if that happens instead. But according to Pastor John, he did say this, Christmas is a celebration of light.
Yeah.
And I think whatever background you're from, I think you can get behind that. And so I think still having the lights just in trees around Red Square still gives you that setting, which is really cool.
Yeah, and of course we'll still have the Christmas concerts and the Christmas like hot chocolate outside with carols. Like I'm sure PLU's not gonna, no student will stand for not having their free hot chocolate out on Red Square,
exactly,
and getting to sing along with some carols. Like that's just a thing.
You know, but I guess Red Square is just gonna look a little different this year. But you know, there'll still be lights, so that's all the point. And hot chocolate.
Of course.
Always the most important part.
Most important, next to coffee.
Whenever there are free beverages in Red Square.
Free beverages
like
in Red
Bugue
Square.
Day?
Oh, Bugue Day goodness. Was awesome. Did you get a cup on
Bugue
Day?
No, I didn't get a cup on Bugue Day.
See, we got those when we moved into my dorm. We had the Bugue mugs or Bugue
mugs.
Because
you were in Harstad.
Because
yeah.
I'm in Harstad. Yeah, so Harstad mugs. It was great. But my roommate got one of the shirts because she showed up super early. So now she has a shirt with a giant beard on it. And I was so jealous because then I went to go get one and they're like, oh yeah, we're out, but we'll sell them at the bookstore. And
well,
so I
gladly
the
sell them to you yeah. at Garfield Book Company for $12.99.
But then there weren't any at Garfield Book Company. I was so upset. I was willing to pay to have a giant beard on my shirt, and then they couldn't provide that joy for me.
Well,
I hope they're listening. I hope
someone's listening to me, and they're gonna take my concerns into consideration.
All right. Well, you know, it's all good. So thank you for that. Thank you for that story, Sam. And. So, coming up after this, we will have our Go Lutes athletics update and a preview of what's going on at News at 9. But first, here is the music of Shawn Mendes with Stitches. This is the Mass Radio Hour, a convergence of mass media and laser.